Good morning. This is Marcy Schuler with 307 Net Radio, and we are with our Superintendent of Schools, Mr. Charles Oskey. How are you today?
Good morning, and great. Welcome to the second interview. This is awesome.
So we are at the start of the school year, and we have a new entrance system and new security at the schools. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So one of the things we're trying to implement, first of all, is safety, not only within the schools but the community. And I want to put my little plug in for a community safety partnership, which leads into that. But yes, we do have a new visitor management system in the schools. That visitor management system, most districts around the state have had a system for many years. So we are a little bit behind the times, but the reality is, this is a system, it's a Verkata system, it's not Raptor, which is used in other districts, is our ability to know who's coming in and out of buildings. The ability to, track some of those things. So if something does happen in the building, we know where they're at. The visitor management system is also for parents to understand, is going to be different. So if you are coming into the building and you are going to be walking through the building, not just coming to the office, but if you're going to be in the building wandering around, you need to check in. And it'll print a badge, and this security system will require you to show your driver's license. It doesn't do an official background check, but it does check to see if you are on the sexual predator list, so we're not letting anybody in out. So into our buildings doing things without some kind of formal check-in. So it just kind of formalizes who's coming into our building to be doing things. So right now we have what we call the visitor tab. We have our parent volunteer tab, and then we have contractors.
So we've always had a security system, I thought. So what's the difference with
So the... this is a digital system, digital check-in. So we're checking people that are going to be in the building. And going to be around kids, not just coming to the office. You're coming to the office to pick up your child, or you're just doing general business where you're going to stay in the office. You won't be required to do this check-in. However, the cool thing about this is it leads into some other things. Our door security lock systems, we need to go to one platform in Johnson County. We have several platforms, which is getting very hard to maintain. So our goal over the next couple of years is to come up to the 21st century with our visitor management system, to replace our door entrance systems, but also to put cameras so we can identify things in emergencies. And this is not to track people. This is for the safety of kids. So Meadowlark Elementary right now is getting cameras around the exterior of the building. So if something does happen, we know what we're looking for and how to look for it. It's a collaboration with local law enforcement. So those are things there just to make sure our schools are safe. And so parents understand this is a focus for us, for all buildings. So we got our entrance system, our door lock system, so that you're locked down. We come in. If you're going to be in the building, we have a very simple way of checking in. But the new piece is, I need to be honest, is we need to bring our driver's license. So if you plan on going into the building itself all the way in and being in the building for any certain amount of time where kids are at, you'll need to bring your driver's license with you.
Now, what if I don't have a driver's license, or I have it just on my phone? You know, is there a way for people to check in?
So there's like that? You'll just have to be a more of an in-person check-in, and we'll talk about that. But you won't be allowed to go through the building by yourself. There'll be somebody with you just for the protection of kids. And those are some hiccups we already ran into. So just assuming that. So we are, it's a growing, and I've asked every building. Obviously, if you're having a pep assembly, we are not going to require people to check in. We're not going to bring 400 people in through the visitor management system if it's a public event. These are during school hours, or there's going to be exceptions to the rules. So I ask the community and the parents just to be patient, because we are growing with this. But there's a fourth component to this I haven't talked about either, that I feel is real critical, and that's our internal speaker systems. They are outdated. Some of those are failing. So not only an emergency, but communication is so big. So having two systems, which our focus right now is audio enhancement and Verkata, in all buildings, so it's one manageable system. And when I say manageable, last interview we talked about there's not enough time in day just to watch cameras and see what's going on. It's a system, so if there is an emergency, we can react effectively and efficiently for what's in the best interest of kids. So we do not have administrators watching cameras on a daily basis there. In the classrooms, we're still doing this. But this comes down to doing as much as we can to make sure our buildings are safe for the kids so parents can trust us to understand what we're doing. We're never trying to identify issues. However, we need to come up to the modern age, and that modern age is our door locks, our camera systems. This is not cameras in the classroom. These are our exterior, our entrance doors, a visitor management system, and our internal system for our PA systems, which has a benefit educationally, because my goal is to get the speakers in every classroom, which has an emergency button on it. So if you've ever been in the schools and seen the little speakers that teachers wear around their necks, it just amplifies so that every kid can hear no matter where the teacher is. But in addition to that, if something happens, they don't have to leave their class unattended. They can push a button. Somebody can come down. So we're just trying to help everybody, and it's exciting. Yes. I got to tell you, but it doesn't come without a lot of effort, a lot of training, and some fundings to do that. And we're hoping to use some of our ESSER funds to kind of help get this going so that we our buildings are where they need to be for the safety of our kids. Is that fair?
So, yes. So, you know, every parent's nightmare is an incident at a school. We've all watched the doings with the Uvalde situation, which was a terrible mass shooting in Texas last spring in a school. And so, are there collaborations going on with our police, with other agencies in town, so that we don't have, you know, the kind of issues they had in Texas last
year?
Yes,
another exciting thing that we're doing, this community safety partnership, which is just getting started. We had our first meeting, which involves local law enforcement, and it involves DFS, it involves our county attorney, and school district officials, is growing in such a way that that's what we want to do, that collaborative piece. So those things we talked about with not only the Verkada camera or entrance system is having our local law enforcement have access to those things so they can see real-time things, that communication, where we're in. They have access to the buildings. So, yes, that collaborative community project is up and running, and actually I think it's towards the end of September we're going to actually have our second meeting. It's going to be more of a luncheon. We've already, from the first meeting, we want to define bullying, so that came out of that. We're also going to use our local resources. They're going to come provide training to our staff about what some of the drugs that are happening and how to identify that. So we're going to do an all staff training. So we're using them, that's their knowledge, their background, to train our people. We're asking our SROs to kind of be in the classrooms if we can, and if we somehow we support that, inviting them to lunch. And I got to tell you, kudos to them. They were out on the first day. We've seen a lot of our local law enforcement around schools. And if you see them, kudos from me to them, but you as parents also give them a kudos. They've been in the buildings, and they've been actively involved in the school. They've been open to that since I've taken my job, because I reached out to them. We did that collaborative piece with TAC 1 training. We did a complete separate training just for them, so they know what we're trying to do and when they come into the buildings. So the efforts are moving forward.
So 307 Net Radio will be recording those meetings so people can listen directly to what's happening on that task force. What's the official name of it?
Well, the draft name is the Community Safety Partnership.
Okay, so we don't really have a name yet, but we're getting there.
We're getting there.
Community Safety Partnership. And then who is actually on that group?
So, again, the county attorney, officials from the district, local law enforcement is going to be there. DFS has been invited to that. So some of those major components, and it started with law enforcement. And
that's awesome.
So that's where the main collaboration is going to be. And I know a lot of other people want to do it, but we wanted to start with especially local law enforcement or county attorney. We have intake meetings, so that collaboration is just enhancing some of that that we're already doing. But there's a key word I want you to hear from me. It's intentional. It's not just a feel good. Everybody has a passion, and you have basically three different entities that are trying to do what's best for kids. But if we're all not speaking the same language, sometimes we can get crossways, and we don't want to get crossways. We want to all preach the same thing, okay?
So what are the actual just bottom line objectives, goals of that group? Is it just safety of students? Is there more?
It's going to grow into more. If to be as transparent as I can, the first goal that I had by starting to have this communication is that collaboration piece. So what can you offer us? What can we offer you? Because if we don't understand our talents or what we have, we really can't set a goal. So that goal setting is going to come over time. Hopefully that's a fair enough answer. You know, but I reached out, hey, I want some training for staff. They said, hey, we have experts that can do this. We started talking about, hey, these are conflicts. These are things that don't mesh simply by how we define what is bullying in school, not bullying in school. So those are things I see eventually growing. But the number one intentional initiative of this is to get everybody to the table and saying, hey, here's our strengths. What can we provide each other? And then more importantly, take care of the kids.
So we're talking about law enforcement and kind of the, oh, maybe the more hands-on, how do we protect people? But there's a whole different piece of that is the mental health piece. What is the school district doing or thinking about strengthening the mental health of our community, our students, you know, our staff?
And our staff. I love that. So I want to come back to everything we've talked about with safety, too. It's not just about the safety of our students. It's the safety of our staff. I got to have our staff want to come to school and feel safe, because they are the key to success. There is no one program that is successful without staff members. And so I do want to take a second to say that. So we got sources of strength, which is a collaborative piece. We're really trying to work through and get this parent liaison through Compass up and going, which is another community collaboration which supports parents, students, and schools in general, trying to do that piece. Our collaborative pieces that we're trying to really focus on, instead of a gotcha system with teachers, a growth model system, professional learning communities, which you'll hear as a community. Again, I say this a lot, but teachers coming together to do what's best for kids. However, teachers coming together to support each other with, hey, this is a technique that works for you in your classroom. How can we support each other? So human relationships, if you've ever seen the Rita Watson, Every Kid Needs a Champion, if you haven't, I'll use technology and ask you to go to YouTube and look up Rita Watson, Every Kid Needs a Champion. And if you read between the lines, it is about relationships. Well, it's not only about professional, and I want to use a key word, professional relationships with kids, but it's about professional relationships and culture with our teaching staff. So if you simply take out the conversation about what kids need, our staff needs the same thing. It's a lot about that social emotional. And that's one of the things we did this year. It's about our purpose statement. So Charles, it wasn't a checkoff last year. I brought in Don Julian to start developing professional purpose statements. We have to understand as educators what our purpose is and what do we really believe in, because that impacts kids. We need our kids to have the same thing. So that wasn't just a checkbox last year. I re-emphasized it again this year. It's going to be part of our system. What is our professional purpose? And how do we champion kids? Every kid, every employee in Johnson County School District every day needs to have somebody that can be there for them, because we don't have good days. We have bad days. Everything's not perfect all the time. Everybody needs to understand that there's family. There's a lot of different things to be successful. So, you know, I would challenge anybody to go look up Rita Watson and Everybody Needs a Champion. And remember, that kind of gives you a good overview. Just take out the student and put in staff and employees. As a educational member of Johnson County School District, I want to change that terminology. Oh, you're the superintendent. No, I'm a member of a team. Okay. I happen to be in a position where I have to say no. So people won't like no. I get that. We're going to agree to disagree. But, you know, as an educational leader, I would like to say I'm a member of a team. And that's a culture that I want to create over the next couple of years.
So I know that, you know, we've had some programs in the schools, lots of programs in the schools addressing safety, mental health, you know, those kind of things. So I understand Freshman Impact, which was a program for freshman students in the high school before COVID, has changed. But that's coming to the high school this month. The right road. Is that something that fits into your...
So, super excited about that too, but I can't answer a lot of questions with that. But what I know is this. We are doing this as a community. It has become... We used to hire a company out of South Dakota to come over to do it. And you know what? This is why Johnson County is so awesome. We have people here that want to make it better. It's a collaboration piece with local law enforcement, the hospital. There are so many great resources here, and it is only going to get better. We talked about the social media piece that we're going to offer for parents in the community. So if there's one thing that I want to say, I'm glad it's not Freshman Impact anymore, because that's all I reference it as, Freshman Impact. This is a community effort to do the right road, but it's not just about simply, you know, how to prevent a car accident or what you do. There are so many aspects that I think it's only going to get better. But let's come back to the number one thing I want to say. This is community organized. This shows you that people have a passion for kids. And we've invited, making sure Casey's involved. We're making sure that we've even invited Sheridan 3. And so this is people caring about kids. So let's say this will be the first year. But I'm sure it's going to be awesome. But everybody that I've talked to with this has such a passion. I think it's just going to grow.
Well, and Lisa Norman has been really the driver of this. And we will be interviewing her and have a full interview on this program coming up. But, you know, kudos to Lisa. And if there's anybody out there who wants to be involved, she needs lots and lots of people. I think there's at least 100 volunteers that come, maybe more.
Yeah.
So that's a program that if you're interested in school safety, mental health of students, this year it's going to be sophomores and juniors,
yep,
because we missed some, you know, in the previous couple of years where we couldn't do these things. But, yeah, we'll have a lot more on that as we go in the future. We've really touched on some security, some mental health, you know, and are there questions that you wish that I had asked here about those subjects?
No. Again, this opportunity to get out information out to the community and understand it's a collaboration and it's intentional. Is greatly appreciated on my part. But school safety is number one. Hopefully, if there's something I've clarified today, it's just not about a visitor management system, but it is new. It's about cameras. It's about door lock systems. It's about PA systems. There's so many things to make sure we're doing what we can to make sure our buildings are safe for students and staff. Because we want people to... I don't want our schools to be a prison. If I can go on that side trail. A lot of people are trying to lock down school so much that you lose that in learning environment piece. So there's a lot of data out there that, again, says some of the training we're doing with TAC-1, but it's having teachers trained that makes a difference.
Can you tell me what TAC-1 is?
TAC-1 was the active shooter training that we brought in Johnson County and did that with that. And it really opened the eyes to law enforcement and to teachers here about we don't want to be victims. We want to be proactive. So it's an attitude change. There's always going to be a ground zero. How do you react? There's a lot of things that we've taught people to hide under desks and just be a victim. TAC-1 is empowering people to make decisions. But how do you make decisions? And it's not just during schools. It's that life skill set, unfortunately, and I want to be very honest. This is not something I say with just a grain of salt. It is sad because of the social-emotional piece we're in society. if you look at these active shooter situations, is it's not just in schools. It's in malls. It's in restaurants. It's in movie theaters. Unfortunately, this is a skill set for life. That how do you react? You know, you don't have to be a victim. What are you looking for? And so I'll just be honest. I pray that someday we'll never end this position and we don't have to do this, kind of like nuclear bomb shelters a long time ago, mm-hmm. where everybody built things and now we're past that. But this is something for our kids and our parents to understand and not be fearful. So if there's one thing, it's about tack one. It's not being over aggressive. It's about people learning not to be victims and how to make good decisions, which impacts the classroom. We're empowering people, right? And thought processes and things through that. So there's just so much more to it than just, oh, it's just a training. No, there's a lot to come out of it if we do it correctly and we do it collaboratively.
Well, it has certainly been eye-opening and interesting to visit today. And I definitely look forward to our next conversation with 307 Net Radio, but we're going to sign off for today.
And so am I. So yeah. I just got to tell you, with excitement, this is what we need to do on a weekly basis, so I appreciate this.
Well, we do too, and I'm sure the public appreciates having a window into your world. This is Marcy Schuler signing off for 307 Net Radio.